We got some folks up here, part of the late night crew, CJSF 9.1 FM. It is Vancouver FM, Vancouver's only chiptune broadcast, live and direct from the top of Burnaby Mountain. CJSF 90.1 FM. We bring you the best in chiptune, video game soundtracks, OSTs, VGM, fake bit, video game inspired music, electronic music history, occasionally documentaries about North Korean electronic music. Super cool. Big news, and we'll talk about it when we do the news, coming up at 9 o'clock as we always do in classic Vancouver episodes. Some big news on the Vancouver streaming front. Concerts coming up here in the Metro Vancouver Regional District. We'll also discuss tonight some of the recent awards that have been going around, the Golden Joystick, the Game Awards, all those wonderful things, talk about all the cool stuff. And big shout out to, of course, neighbor right before us, Lynn, and before that, Slumber Party, and right after us as well, Transatlantic Express, part of your Tuesday evening loveliness here at CJSF 90.1 FM. And why don't we listen to a little bit of Schnoodlebug while we get set up here, and then we're going to play some cool Clair Obscur Edition 33. I found a very cool 8-bit version of the Expedition 33 soundtrack. Great game. Really just kind of cleaned up. It's the Titanic, the Return of the King of the Game Awards this year. But there were some other great ones as well, too, that we will talk about. And we'll speak more about the ever-expanding Twitch streaming situation on Vancouver. Vancouver Gaming. Curbuary. Also, shout-outs to Roast Lotus. Roast Lotus is in the house from the interior. One of my friends going back nearly 20 years now has made it up here and will be joining us live on air. We'll also be talking about the announcement from our dear friends, the Vancouver Retro Gaming Expo. Yes, it has been announced. The dates are out. Go, go, go check it out. Vancouver Retro Gaming Expo, the VRGE. Van Retro Gaming on social media, and I believe Vancouver Gaming Expo.com. Vancouver will be back. It's like our 8th year doing it. So good. That's truly the highlight of the calendar. I really get to meet and catch up with everyone and bring out the arcade stick, Vancouver merch, new stickers as always. Lovely. And yeah, stay tuned. We're here for you every Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m. We're live tonight. CJSF 90.1 FM. This is Vancouver FM. Thank you for joining us in the virtual plaza. Schnoodlebug Sampler Volume 1 from Boop. Collection of tracks poorly recorded 2020 to 2023 by Schnoodlebug. Del 4, 808, Wait Here, and ASL. And Schnoodlebug, if you remember from our three-part interview series on Roach, and we talked about it before, during, and after, and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. Go pick up limited copies of the VHS are available. Schnoodlevideo.com, S-C-H-N-O-O-D-L-E, video.com, Schnoodle Video. If you ever need video editing or cool compositing, I think that's it. Yeah, graphics, motion graphics. Schnoodle's the dude to call, 100%. Also, just played at Redgate a week ago, something like that. One of the first new shows of Redgate of the new year. Shout out Jacob, shout out everybody at Redgate. Go check it out somewhere on Main Street in downtown Vancouver. Schnoodlebug Sampler 1. We'll be right back. And remember to synthesize with nostalgia. Schnoodle's music, and I'm honored to have him as a part of the woven fabric that is Bitcoover FM. What a thing, Bitcoover FM. Shout out everybody who's supported and has loved and has been like, oh, Bitcoover, cool. Weird computer music, as Grant used to say. Shout out to my old neighbor, Grant. So Gouda. Golden Joystick Awards and the Game Awards. We'll be yakking about those once we get Roach Lotus on air. Get her opinion on games that she's played recently, stuff that she likes. First time on radio, I think. So what a treat to have her join us here on Bitcoover FM. Video Game Awards. Let's see. Yeah, the Game Awards for sure. Oh yeah, the British Academy Game Awards as well too. GDC Awards, Independent Game Festival, Video Game Awards winners. We'll be yakking about all those. It's Bitcoover FM. BRB.
Radio. I'm scared.
Don't be scared.
I'm so scared.
You're live on air. Roast Lotus, everybody.
I don't go by that. Mechatron.
Oh, Mechatron. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I guess I'm OG. God.
Yeah, that's my MSN name. What are you doing?
That's your retro name.
Yeah. You just aged me so
You've
much.
Got mail. Mechatron.
Hi.
Mechatron. That's right. One of my best friends going back almost 20 years now. Wow.
Yeah.
We're cool.
I'm on the radio.
Yeah, you are. And we just had some delicious Vietnamese food.
And bingsu.
Oh, bingsu. We're spoiled here out in the Tri-Cities.
Vancouver's the best place on earth for food.
That's right. That's right. Not only do we talk about chiptune, we talk about video game related food like snacks.
All the snacks.
Well, I mean, food streams are pretty popular. Mukbang was a thing back in the day.
I could do a mukbang.
Yeah. Mukbang would be good.
Vancouver mukbang.
Oh, that would be fun. I'm down for that.
All the noodles.
Yes. Cheese the puduk.
You see, I don't know. You see those little girls doing it, and they can put back some serious food. I don't know if I can handle that.
I remember my pops, the Wizard of Ops, saying that the most he's seen anybody eat was like one of his co-workers who was like skinny little Korean girl, and she just like pounded stuff.
Dude, it's impressive.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
she said she ate and drank more than anyone at the table.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Like, I can do a lot on a KBBQ, but I have to be careful. Like, you have to, like, really strategically. You can't fill up on rice and that. You just have to do straight meat. Got to drink a Coke, too.
Yep,
you got to have a Coca-Cola.
Got a fizzy. It's medicinal.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on radio. Or we're not sponsored.
No, we're not sponsored. No.
But, yeah, you need something to break it down in your stomach before you can take more.
A cola.
Yeah.
We can't give medical advice.
Cool.
We
okay. That was my next thing I was going for, so I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah. The Golden Joystick Awards and the Game Awards, aka the Clair Obscur 33 Awards.
I was actually okay. So small piece here. I love Clair Obscur.
Great game.
I also played through Kingdom Come.
Oh
Deliverance.
Yeah.
And it was incredible.
It's so good.
And also, I had this big talk with my friend where JRPGs are such a strong genre. But I grew up on PC with, like, European RPGs and things. So when Clair Obscur took the RPG award, I was a little, like, I was so happy that they won so many awards because I'm such a fan. But I was like, if Kingdom Come was going to get one, just give them one, man. But, I mean, like I said, you can't be mad at a game like Clair Obscur for doing that. It is what it is. But I was kind of like... As far as an RPG goes, I was really impressed with the story of Kingdom Come. But
for those of you who don't know, Clair Obscur Expedition 33, it came out, I want to say, in the spring, like April, May kind of thing. And beautiful game, visually stunning game. And also the soundtrack is really good. And it's kind of set in that just before... 20th century time, like late 19th century kind of thing.
France.
Yeah, it is. It is a very French game.
Pretty grassroots when it comes to it. The music he found, I think, sourced from Reddit.
Yeah.
He said, hey, I need some music for this game, and he got this guy, and it is unbelievable. Like, fully orchestral, just heartbreaking music.
It has its own Wikipedia article.
Yeah,
music.
Some of the most impressive, like, in-game music in a very, very long time. So I was, like, so impressed with it.
Wow, the soundtrack's 8 hours long.
Yeah. Well, I remember my friend, actually. So I'm somebody who cries very openly during anything, including music. And it's always been a joke with me and my friends. And one of my friends, actually, she was listening to, I think, the theme for, like, Lumiere or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at one of the Game Awards they had performed it. And she cried. And she called me because she's like, I get what you're going through all the time now because it happened to me. And it was Clair Obscur that kind of unlocked that for her. It was so funny.
That's one thing I always like about awards shows is, yes, people have their moment, they have their night, they have their Oscars moment, but also you get to hear some of the live renditions of some of this music. And this is a point I've made, right?
Sorry, I got excited about the flute guy.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
He's
no,
the best.
He is. He truly is.
I'm a flautist.
Yep.
So he's like a special thing for me every year. I'm like,
and you get that flute moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of flute video games. I'm sure that Okami has really good shakuhachi, classic Japanese style food.
Classic Japanese.
Have you played the HD version of Okami?
I have started it multiple times.
That's
a
game that you just
gotten all the way through, but I've loved it every time. Actually, my favorite Okami game is Okami Den.
Nice. Nice.
For the Game Boy. Yeah. What was it for?
I think it's a Game Boy Advance.
Advance, yeah. I want to say, yeah. Because I played it on the DS, but it was
it's a DS. Yeah.
Oh, was it DS?
It is a DS game. Okay. 2010, yeah.
Oh, fantastic game.
Great game. Yeah.
It's so underrated. I didn't even know it existed until I tripped over it in Vancouver one day and I was like, what is this?
When I went to the Fushimi Inari Shrine in Kyoto in Japan, it's all kitsune and foxes everywhere and I'm like, it's Okami all over everything.
Yeah.
Because Okami literally means like God, like Okami.
Yeah. Amaterasu.
Yep. Exactly.
That was my favorite in Marvel vs. Capcom.
Ooh,
too.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I could probably rig that up to play that.
Oh, yep. It'd be sick.
Easy.
So sick.
Easy. And I've been playing. So we'll yak more about the awards show here in a moment. But I've been playing a lot of Kirby, and you've seen some of that on the stream.
We're jamming.
Yeah. Kirby-wary.
It's a banger. I can't believe how long I listened to those boopin'.
I know.
Considering how long you were in some of those levels.
Oh,
hey.
Bro. You have no idea. It's literally the meme, old man yells at cloud, but yeah. boomer gamer yells at Kirby games.
It's like in a different dimension. I'm like, why is this booping still happening?
Yep.
Well, but somehow not offensive.
Well, that's the thing, is so much of video game music is meant to be there in the background, but not so so much that it's lost, but not too much that you get overwhelmed by it. Because there are a lot of games that I play that I'm like, oh, this music's amazing, that's all I focus on, as opposed to gameplay.
Hot take. Hot take.
Do it.
Final Fantasy 14.
Yo, great game.
The worst music. You're running around picking flowers and it's just like, boom, boom, boss music. And you're like, no, bro. No. I just want to pick a flower, bro.
There's,
my friends all persecuted me for this.
No, it's fine. And also, same thing with some of the tracks on FF7 Rebirth. And actually, hold up.
Okay, be careful with that one.
FF7 Rebirth stamp battle theme.
Yeah, they just hit it too hard.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you got nowhere to go from here.
Yeah, this is from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and it's like, it's a dog escort mission. So
okay, it's a jam, though.
Yeah, it is. It's so good. So there's a streamer that I follow, Lucky Pochi. Shout out, Lucky. And it's so... So she's... Her VTuber model is... She's a Gyaru dog.
Oh!
Yeah.
Sorry,
it's
I
amazing.
Just screamed into the
it's
mic.
All good. We have a compressor.
That sounds great.
She's amazing.
I need one of those.
Yeah, she's super funny. And so she plays an awesome song at the beginning of her streams, and this was one of them. I'm like, what the heck is this? This is a jam.
Love it.
And I looked it up and it's like, oh, it's from FF7 Rebirth.
And it's an escort.
It's an escort mission when you fight bosses and enemies in that escort mission.
Okay, but this is a full commit. I love it.
Yeah. And they have the English and the Japanese version. Yeah. Yeah. Bow wow wow, bow wow wow. He's a good boy who never stops.
He's a good boy.
Yeah, it's Stamp who's, and the thing is like, so it, for those of you who played FF7, it's set in Shinra, and it's like, that's the evil government, who's like the power company, which I think is a wild thing that the power company has taken over. It's like, what is it, Medica Machina in Furikuri, where it's like the medical company's taken over everything. So FF7 is Shinra, the power company in Shinra, and then this is like their propaganda song, because Stamp is the mascot. Here we go, Stamp.
Yeah, show me this
FF7. Look at him.
So cute.
Good boy.
What a good boy.
That's Stamp. There he is, right there. Bow wow wow. Bow wow wow.
What a little buddy.
So I've been listening to this song for 4 weeks straight. I friggin' love this song. It's so good.
Okay.
But I feel that, and you know what's interesting is after Nobuo Uematsu kinda moved on from doing the Final Fantasy soundtracks, they switched so much. I think it was FF12.
Wasn't there a family member or something who was doing part of Final Fantasy 14? I thought, or no, it was somebody else who was connected. But there was a strong connection to Uematsu.
Yeah,
and
let's look it up,
because I went and I saw Final Fantasy one in Vancouver.
Oh.
I've seen that twice in my life. Well, yeah, I saw.
Okay,
I saw
Uematsu did 14.
Yeah, yeah. He did some of it. He did some of it, and those were the good songs. No, I'm just joking. I definitely. I did watch it, and there was a lot of music for Final Fantasy XIV, and I was like, oh wow, actually I did really enjoy it. I think the only thing that I didn't enjoy about it was that it felt like there was no pacing. Like, you were in the boss fights, and it was like boomer,
yeah,
bang, and then you were like running around and slaying slimes, and you're like, okay.
Did you play 15?
No, I didn't.
I that's on my list because, okay, hot take, I'm not a fan of turn-based RPGs.
Oh, really?
I don't like them.
I do like them, but I'm bad at the grind. So, a funny story about Final Fantasy is I've never finished a Final Fantasy game.
Oh,
now,
really?
Hold on.
No, it's okay.
I didn't have a PlayStation
okay.
growing up. I had a PC.
Yep.
I had, like, a Nintendo Sega.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy X
yeah.
was my first. I read that. I had a little computer with like a little CRT screen. It was
yeah.
like my dad's old computer
yeah.
In my room. And I just read the script for it. And I watched every scene I could on YouTube when I was like,
yeah.
I was just so in love
with
it.
All the cutscenes, yeah.
Never played it. I own it 3 times over and I've never been able to play it because I'm just like, it's built up in my mind. I know the story inside out. And I did the same with Final Fantasy VII.
Yep.
And I've never been able to play that one through too.
I've played... three,
but a lot of love.
Tactics, X and X 2.
Nice.
And I started 12, but I didn't yeah. do anything with it.
Well,
yeah.
My entire friend group, it's through my 20s.
So huge
Final Fantasy nerds to the point where, like, when everybody's passing out from a little bit too much of the doop,
yep,
little drinker,
we'd
be like sleeping. To Final Fantasy, like, it's like, oh, it's Betty by time. They put on the Final Fantasy. And then, like, Scott, Tamorag, old Tamorag, he used to put it on when we were camping, when we were going to bed. And so you just hear this tingling little, like, Final Fantasy VII music from 2 tents over. It's so funny. It's, like, so iconic, though. Like, I know the entire soundtrack all the way through, too.
So before I moved to the greater Vancouver Regional District, I lived... over in the east coast of Los Estados Unidos, and I before I ever played a Final Fantasy game, I had 4 burned discs that my friend made for me of the FF10 soundtrack.
Amazing.
So I knew the soundtrack inside out way before
Center
I ever
camp,
played. Same thing
like,
with Cowboy Bebop, and so I was like, okay. And then actually watching and playing those pieces of media, then it's like, okay, now I can connect them.
Yeah.
Because I've just been bopping. Yeah, this track is a crazy bop. Where is it? Oh, Besaid Island, yeah. This is like my favorite Final Fantasy X. Because, I mean, this is like peak Nobuo Uematsu, in my opinion. Outside of the OG ones. This is like, because I think FFX was the first PS2 Final Fantasy.
I can't remember. Yeah, I'm not
a huge FF fan. Let's see, games. Fantasy X. It must be because it's 2001.
2001 yeah. So I was 11.
Yeah. I mean,
how old was I?
Yeah.
I can't math. Yeah, it's got to be 11.
Yeah,
right?
11 or 12. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was around the same. I remember this game coming out, and also at the same time, I remember going to an EB Games and really wanting a Game Boy Advance at the time. And then I bought this one, and I was like, oh, this is so good.
My dad made me sell my N64 to get a GameCube as a life lesson. Trauma.
No comment.
No, it's a life lesson,
it's
and
okay.
I get it. And now you can get all of the games on everything, right? So it's not a big deal.
It's true.
And to be honest, I still have the GameCube, and I think it's the best one to still own.
Yeah,
because there's games you can't play on anything else.
I have a Wii, an OG Wii, because I remember...
Because they can play GameCube games,
it can,
too.
Yes,
Wii.
And it also has a GameCube slot and 4 controller ports.
Oh,
so
it's the best.
It's basically a Wii plus a GameCube. Mm-hmm. And the graphics are a little bit better. Some of the menus don't work the same way.
Yeah.
But they have some GameCube games out on the Switch for the virtual console now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so interesting to go back and play games, and especially games that like I always wanted to play but I could never afford.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got that disposable millennial
so
income.
Easy. Oh my gosh, yeah. You can't have kids, so what are we gonna do?
Steam.
And my cat or dog or whatever.
Shout out goodest boy from Texas.
Oh, Levi.
Yep.
Yeah.
So good.
I'm actually like one of the OGs from GameCube back in the day that I used to love was Skies of Arcadia.
Oh,
don't know if you ever played great that, game. But that's a deep cut, right?
Great game.
Yeah. Damn. And you can't find it anywhere,
no, really,
bro.
No,
nothing.
No, you have to.
I've played it again since on
digitally
the GameCube.
Digitally recreate it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. Such a good game. And so underrated. Well, I guess it was big during the time, but mostly like in Japan. Yeah.
One of the most fulfilling parts of my trip to Japan
Dreamcast.
Was yeah. Oh, I speaking of Dreamcast, I have a picture because I went into multiple retro game stores, and I know when I go back next time, I'm going to be doing pretty much nothing but I'm going to yeah, it was great. Super, Super Potato, Hard Off, Book Off, and pretty much some of the cool stuff in Akihabara, like Animat and Mandarake as well too. So there was this cool thing that was a guide. It was a piece of paper printed out totally from like Microsoft Excel, and it's like region console compatibility, telling you if something was JPNA or EU compatible.
Well, my friends used to have to deal with that because of Monster Hunter.
Totally.
Gab used to be like all about Monster Hunter, and he used to have an unlocked PSP that he used to play play it in Japanese too, and just memorize the menu. He didn't speak it, didn't read it, and he's just like, he was hardcore Monster Hunter.
My dad brought me back a 20-in-1 Game Boy cartridge from Malaysia.
Oh man.
And half of them were JP games.
That can't be legal.
as he likes to say, in Malaysia we copyright.
Shoutouts.
And so he brought back that, and I remember playing there was a Yu-Gi-Oh game on Game Boy, and it was all in Japanese, and I remember sitting there at the Vietnamese barbershop and like playing it as they're buzzing my head.
My gosh.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't know these ones, and the guy behind me is like, I can't read Japanese, and I'm like, I don't expect you to, you're Viet, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's so funny.
So good. If you like import games, we'll talk about this more at the top of the hour for sure, but as part of the news, at 9 o'clock I always do the news.
The news?
Yes. We talk about what's new, events that are coming up, things that are up on the calendar, give people an idea of what's happening around Bitcoover, BC.
So you're not just retro games from the 90s.
No.
You're also current.
And retro games from the 80s.
Events. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the 2000s.
Oh, yeah, I guess Kirby's a little older than that.
Here's a question for you. Where do you place the cutoff for retro now? Do you do it by generation or do you do it by year?
Oh, wow.
I know.
I do it by feel. I do it by 100% feel, and I don't care what anybody else says.
Because there are some where it's like, I feel that even though they're on, say, like a PS3 game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that's not that long ago. It's like 2008, 2009, mm-hmm. maybe even a little earlier. And some of those feel retro, even though they're full, like, AAA.
Like, I think that there was a huge jump between, like, when the Switch came out and that whole gen of games, I would say, because that was like Xbox 360, wasn't it?
Well, Switch was 2016. So before the Switch was the Wii U.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
it was Wii and then Wii U.
Yeah, because I think Wii and Wii U, and then I would say after that, and whatever the corresponding, I would say like kind of PS3.
Yeah, 2014, 2015.
Xbox 360 and before, I would say that those ones were kind of like, that's kind of the cutoff for me.
Yeah, because
kind of when I reached adulthood.
Yeah,
life started to get hard.
I also feel that like hardware very much
changed.
It jumped. They became the consoles didn't become for lack of a better word, it's not that they're constrained. It's just they're slightly limited in performance, and so the games are super heavily optimized versus a PC where you could keep upgrading it all the time.
Yeah, and like the original Switch was only in 720p too, which
1080 if you plugged it in, but on the screen 720.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
rip.
And so it's okay, but that was like I always remember like the Switch from Wii U to that. It was kind of a pretty big jump, even though Wii U was pretty. Actually, Wii U was pretty
it was
good
pretty
too,
good.
And like with the screen and everything.
Yeah. Well, it was the way to bridge the gap between portable, because you could play games on the screen, but there were also a lot of games where you, like Mario Party, where one person had the controller.
Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big old Sursifer's basement thing.
Yeah.
We used to play. We used to play, Nintendo Land, and like I can't say what we used to call the Luigi Ghost thing.
It's
you remember
all good.
That though,
I do.
Right?
I do indeed.
Hustling Squirrel. Oh, jeez. I'll have to send him this episode.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, we can't say that
he's an OG.
On here, but it was a lot of days spent in a basement with a bunch of idiots that are in our 20s.
Yep,
that was a lot of fun.
Yep. And it's I
don't even remember what that game was called now. I just always call it the goat. you know.
I mean, we could find it. We'll just look up Wii U games. I actually have a Wii U. I bought a Wii U just to get Smash on Wii U.
I have, I have the Wind Waker Special Edition. Pretty sure it's that one.
Wind Waker HD on the Wii U, it looks so good.
Unbelievable.
Looks
so good.
I
still actually like, okay, so here's another. I still actually prefer playing it on the original console to emulators or like you know, like the Switch emulators
for sure.
And stuff. Other than like, I think honestly the Nintendo